The troops were a combination of infantry and cavalry, whose mission was to occupy the still lightly defended city. But, true to form, the coordination between foot soldier and horse soldier was virtually non-existent, and a small force of local rebel defenders, including old men and boys too young for service, drove the confused Federals away. Butler's plan dissolved. Despite Butler's inept handling of the affair, Grant stayed focused on Petersburg. Suspecting that Lee simply didn't have the manpower to adequately protect both Richmond and Petersburg, Grant reasoned that Petersburg would continue to be lightly defended until Grant showed his true intentions. Lee had seemed to be more concerned with protecting Richmond, and if Grant could make a bold stroke, a sharp, decisive advance straight into Petersburg, he might catch Lee completely by surprise. Though Lee had inflicted a major defeat on Grant's army at Cold Harbor, Grant's proven aggressiveness meant that no Confederate could allow himself to relax and celebrate. In mid-June 1864, while Lee remained close to Richmond, P.G.T. Beauregard held command south of the James River. Neither man could make offensive plans until it was known what Grant intended to do. On June 15th, they got their first major clue. Grant ordered Baldy Smith's 18th Corps to move toward Petersburg and confront whatever opposition they would find there, knowing that Smith's Federal troops would certainly outnumber anything that stood in their way. Unlike Butler's force of 5,000, Smith's corps numbered close to 17,000, and Grant ordered Hancock's Second Corps, another 20,000 men, to back Smith up. As Smith's forces drove toward the outskirts of Petersburg, they came upon the same line of earthworks and fortifications that Butler's troops had faced. It was known as the Dimmock Line, named for the Confederate engineer who 2 years earlier had responded to fears about the vulnerability of the city by constructing a 10-mile loop of defensive positions along Petersburg's eastern perimeter. Though Dimmock's defenses were strong of construction and soundly designed, they lacked the one thing that would actually make them effective: soldiers. As Baldy Smith's Federals approached the ring of fortifications, Beauregard could confront them with a total defensive force of only 2,200 soldiers and militia. Smith's men quickly pushed the rebels out of their lines, and Beauregard recognized that Petersburg was in serious trouble. Working frantically, the Confederate commander pulled troops away from their cork at Bermuda Hundred and withdrew them into Petersburg. While the Confederates were scrambling to deal with the crisis, Smith's Federals were poised at the edge of a virtually undefended city. But Smith's men were slow to advance, and yet again, coordination between infantry and cavalry simply fell apart. Hours passed, and Smith became deeply concerned since Hancock's men had not yet arrived on the field. As the afternoon drifted toward evening, Smith realized that his primary attack could not begin until very late in the day. Baldy Smith then made his worst decision as a commander. He simply stopped. Hancock's efforts to reach the field in time to assist in the attack had been doomed by the now common failures of the clumsy communication system in Grant's army. Baldy Smith was under Butler's command and received his orders through a different channel from that of Hancock, whose orders came through George Meade. Though Grant knew exactly what he intended the two Federal corps to accomplish, he put his plan into action with a flawed and inefficient system. Hancock arrived on the field well after dark, and his entire corps was not available until midnight. Instead of adding Hancock's strength to his own, Smith decided, on his own initiative, that Hancock should make the attack instead. Smith thus requested that the Second Corps move up to take the place of the 18th. Hancock outranked Smith, but he had received no clear orders from Meade about what he was expected to do, so he bowed to Smith's decision-making. Very late that night, Hancock received word directly from Grant that Hancock and not Smith was to command the two corps in a combined attack. All through the night, while confusion reigned on the Federal side of the lines, Petersburg was filling rapidly with Confederate troops. Instead of launching the two-corps attack, Hancock hesitated when he received word that additional reinforcements were on the way. Whether Hancock actually needed them is doubtful. Throughout the day on June 16th, the Federals strengthened their position with the addition of two more corps, Burnside's 9th and Warren's 5th. By nightfall, Meade himself had